This Marketplace podcast is supported by Invest Puerto Rico. What's next in innovation? That's not the right question. It's where. Puerto Rico, more than just a tropical paradise, it's innovation's paradise, where startups and global players coexist in a vast and vibrant ecosystem, where talent runs deep, highly skilled, and bilingual. Plus, the island offers the most competitive tax incentives in the U.S. If you believe your business can go anywhere, Puerto Rico is the place. Find out more at investpr.org/marketplace. Again, that address is investpr.org/marketplace.
An update now on tariffs and inflation. I'm David Brancaccio in New York. We're on inflation control this morning, given its role in our household decisions and on big Federal Reserve decisions on interest rates. The government reported today that there was no inflation in the most recent month. The producer price index was supposed to go up, but it held steady. But let us unwrap this package. Diane Swonk is chief economist at the tax and advisory company Grant Thornton.
Once you strip out food and energy, actually, interesting, food prices came down. That was one of those retaliatory effects of tariffs being put on farmers and farmers hurting for income. So that helped strip it out of some of the overall. But on the upward side, vehicle prices are starting to edge up. This is a real flip-flop from what we've seen in the past. That's because steel and aluminum prices are up, and they've announced more increases to come this summer. So if you're thinking about buying a car, you might want to buy one soon. That's before we get to any kind of vehicle parts and import tariffs. I think it's important because usually we see service sector prices move up much more rapidly, and they had been leading this charge. So you still see the imprint of tariffs on these producer price indices. The good news is it's not a flare yet. The bad news is we do know more is coming in the pipeline unless we put an end to this.
All right, Diane Swonk at Grant Thornton, thank you so much.
Thank you.
The fourth largest employer in America behind Walmart, the Army, and the Navy is the Post Office, which updates its profits and losses today. For years, pension costs and decreasing mail volume have caused USPS to lose money. Now, many businesses are banding together to support the postal system, forming a lobbying group called the Package Coalition. This includes Amazon and other major e-commerce sellers. Marketplace's Jed Kim explains.
There's a lot of political pressure to reform the Postal Service. Congressional bills, a presidential task force, and President Trump himself, who says he wants the USPS to charge Amazon more to send packages. Businesses are concerned they could see price hikes or service cuts. Former New York Congressman John McHugh is chairman of the Package Coalition. He's worried about online deliveries to rural areas.
Postal Service is their only go-to place to participate in that e-commerce, either as consumers or as business people.
Package deliveries have been a growing source of money for the Postal Service, bringing in $7 billion last year. Satish Jindal is president of SJ Consulting. He says reforms could push a company like Amazon to develop its own delivery service.
Post Office could lose a significant portion of Amazon business, and that would not be good for the Post Office.
For now, Amazon and the rest of the coalition are hoping their efforts will convince lawmakers not to change too much. I'm Jed Kim for Marketplace.
I'll tell you who's unhappy. Tribune Media. It was supposed to get bought up by fellow local TV broadcaster Sinclair for about $4 billion, but the Federal Communications Commission got tough, and today that merger was terminated, and Tribune is suing Sinclair, suggesting Sinclair botched the deal by being too aggressive with regulators. We recently heard from Fran in New York, New York, who wanted to let us know that she appreciates Marketplace's in-depth reporting and that we help her better understand the economic and political issues of the day. To join Fran in supporting trustworthy, objective journalism, donate online at marketplace.org. Thanks to all the Marketplace investors who make our work possible.
This Marketplace podcast is supported by Palo Alto Networks. As you innovate to transform your business in today's digital world, how do you stay secure? At Palo Alto Networks, our mission is to protect your digital way of life. Whether it's unprecedented opportunities or uncertainties with AI and whatever comes next, we continually deliver innovation to make each day safer and more secure than the one before. More at paloaltonetworks.com.
The Securities and Exchange Commission has reportedly launched an investigation into the way Tesla's CEO delivered the bombshell news via Twitter that he's thinking about taking Tesla off the public stock market. One question for the SEC, was it actually true when Musk tweeted funding secured for buying up all that stock? This week, we're asking if the Me Too movement is about more than sexual predators and sexual harassment, and whether there's a new line also being drawn about bosses who are bullies. These are related strands of a toxic workplace culture where power enables awful behavior. Today, let's consult Kathy Elster, a consultant with 27 years' experience working with bosses who want to improve or who have been told they gotta improve. Among her books is one entitled Working With You Is Killing Me. Ms. Elster, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
You know, I've read a lot of these management books, self-help books over the years, and one of the themes before the Me Too movement was how to adapt yourself to the crotchety boss. You think that's finally changing, that it's not that you don't have to adapt, that there's some sort of line that shouldn't be crossed in terms of workplace behavior?
Oh, I think in management consulting, there's many new thoughts on setting healthy boundaries, being more responsible for your reaction of how you behave in the world, and not putting up with this kind of behavior.
If a person feels they've been treated badly at work by, let's say, an abusive boss, is human resources your friend?
Unfortunately, their first job is compliance. They are not usually trained in interpersonal dynamics.
They're not trained in interpersonal dynamics. You would have thought.
No, the workplace is not that kind to human dynamics. Maybe there's another manager that you can go to. Maybe there's another female you can go to. And I always like to go in numbers. Let's say there's three or four of you that are having the same issue, because then it's undeniable. Also, document everything. If you have an interaction with your boss that's particularly disturbing, document it.
And for some employees in that situation, it may be that the subordinate has to leave.
I hate to tell people to leave their job, but I think if it is hurting your self-esteem, if you're not sleeping at night, if you find yourself going to the doctor to get medication for your anxiety or your depression, it's time to change your job.
Do you think there's a greater recognition now compared to earlier in your career that bullying is not acceptable behavior?
I think there's a greater recognition that there's emotions in the workplace, and that there is at least an awareness that emotions can affect people's lives in the workplace. There are people that need to be awake to this, and they're the ones that aren't. Those are the problem, the people that are not awake. In my estimation, I think we're 50% awake.
Career and executive consultant Kathy Elster is author of a number of books, including Working With You Is Killing Me. She's host of a podcast, My Crazy Office. Kathy Elster, thank you.
Thank you.
We also talked to a behavioral psychologist who is studying toxic workplaces. Yes, under what she says was an abusive boss who kept leaving her crying. But how do you keep those bosses from getting to you? If you missed that interview on the air, it's at marketplace.org now. And where is human resources in all of this? That follow-up is in the works. I'm David Brancaccio with the Marketplace Morning Report from APM, American Public Media.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.